You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Greetings, welcome to a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Doesn't feel like February, but we're making our way toward the end of the second month of 2025. Glad to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on the Gym Class program. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Andrew on the other side of the glass here today, enjoying the weather outside. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Can't complain. No complaints. I shouldn't do it anyway, even if I had one.
I mean, you have a job where people are kind of forced to listen to you if you do have a complaint, unless they change the channel, but we don't want them to do that.
We don't want them to do that. So we're going to say everything is A-okay. Yes. Today. Mark Dukes joining me from the sunny back porch, but a windy back porch in the southwest side. How you doing today? Whoop, I forgot to. Mark was here yesterday and threw me off. He's probably sitting there going, yeah, I'm not going to call him. Uh-huh. I'm not going to tell him that you're being an idiot right here.
Yeah, you got to call him before the show.
I know. I'm sorry, Mark. I apologize profusely today, but you know, being here yesterday, I got used to you one day being in the studio with us.
Are you saying you forgot to call me?
I did. Oh man, how you doing?
For 19 years, Scott, you forget to call me.
I know, and I didn't see
you're forgiven. No problem.
Okay, that's all right. How you are good though today?
I'm great weather, ready to go today.
Yeah. We got a good show. Kevin Lehman, the coach, is going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. Plenty to talk about. The Missouri Valley is coming to a close. The regular season. Fran McCaffrey and among others coming out today on their true feelings about the Big Ten basketball tournament and how many teams should be in. We will get to that. And the Iowa women, a big win last night. Text line available, 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. Like to pick up the phone and give us a call. That is 319-366-1600. Here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And as Cyclone Tim sends us a photo on the text line, you can do that if you're technologically able, with a picture of the now late, great Gene Hackman in the huddle in Hoosiers as Coach Norman Dale talking to his team at Hinkle Fieldhouse at the 1951 Indiana State Basketball Championship. We did lose Gene Hackman today, one of the great actors of our time, Mark. So many great roles, from comedy to drama, everything in between, and definitely has not really been acting over the last, 15 years or so, but man alive, you talk about some of the heavyweight in the world of acting, and Gene Hackman was certainly that.
Yeah, lost not only he, but his wife and one of his dogs, and circumstances that are still being investigated and out in New Mexico. But to your point, Hackman, I mean, there's too many roles to really rank them and go through all that. I've always been partial to Hoosiers. I'm kind of a softie in movies like that. And he was great as Norman Dale, and Hopper was great as Shooter. I'll watch it anytime it's on if I have a chance.
I think anybody who's a sports fan, well, even if you're not a sports fan, Hoosiers is one of those feel-good movies that really, you know, it hits you. It hits you. You like it, Andrew.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
You've never seen
the whole thing
all the way through?
No.
Andrew.
We probably watched it in like a gym class or something as like a end of the year thing, but we didn't ever finish the whole thing.
So you and Matt in Fairfax, who also embarrassingly admits he has never seen Hoosiers, need to, you guys get together, pick a time, watch Hoosiers.
Yep. If it's on, I'll watch it. I promise.
I'm not surprised it came out like 40 years ago. So, but yeah, it is one of the many credits on Hackman's resume. You can talk about his Superman roles and Mississippi Burning and on and on and on. He was one of the icons in the film industry.
Certainly was, and will be missed. And sad situation, certainly, right there. 311 here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. We could probably talk Hoosiers, not to spoil it for you. I mean, spoiler alert, the movie's been out 40 years. Man, we're old. Mark. But, you know, time to move on. And move on we will to Iowa women's basketball as last night. Heck of a victory for Iowa. Jumped out, Mark, a young Michigan team, and Iowa took them to task in the first quarter. Shot the ball well from three. Sydney Folter, maybe her best game as a Hawkeye. Iowa gets a NCAA certainly clinching win last night in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, it was a much-needed win, and my takeaway from it was not only Sydney Folter's performance, a career high, maybe her best game ever as a Hawkeye, at least offensively. And the biggest takeaway for me was Iowa survived a pretty staunch Michigan rally in the third quarter. And in a couple of games, that didn't turn out so well for Iowa, but it did this time.
It did. And no turnovers late, no missed free throws that cost them the game. Just a good overall performance on the road as Iowa gets ready to close out the regular season, as the Hawkeyes will be at home for Senior Day for the blackout game coming up on Sunday afternoon when they take the court against the Wisconsin Badgers. Iowa going to be a heavy favorite against Wisconsin, and then see where the seedings play out for the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, you would think that would be Iowa's 20th win of the season. And, you know, going in, Jan Jensen, new coach, no Caitlin Clark. I think this team, should it win against Wisconsin, have a little success in the Big Ten tournament, I would definitely call it a success.
True. Iowa right now, taking a look at the standings, the up-to-date standings, UCLA and USC are both 16-1. Helped and buoyed by forfeitures, Mark, that came down yesterday. Northwestern having to forfeit games against UCLA and USC. That coming from the Big Ten office. Right now, 6, 7, 8, 9. Iowa is in 10th place at this present time. 9-8, but can move up, obviously, to that 10-win plateau with a win. They would have the tiebreaker over Michigan, would not over Oregon, and I don't believe they do against Michigan State. I think the Illini beat, or the Spartans beat Iowa early in the year. And Indiana still has two games remaining, so big game coming up on Senior Day, obviously. Hawkeyes aren't going to get that double bye this year. We knew that going in, but there is a possibility anyway that they could skip right through that first day, which I think everybody would like.
Well, they're going to be competitive, I think. We've seen that from this team all year long against the very best teams in the league. Whatever the seed may be, I think it's going to be a very competitive team. In the Big Ten tournament, we'll see about the NCAA tournament. You know, that the Northwestern forfeitures don't have any impact whatsoever on Iowa. And I get it. Northwestern's last in the league, or I believe it's last in the league, and those games postponed because of the fires out in L.A., and why go back out there and get trounced a couple times? So, but as far as Iowa goes, very good all-around performance, and like I said, withstood a rally on the road to get a big win.
That was the women's story. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, that's 319-366-1600. The men's Big Ten last night, very interesting evening. Indiana, not a overwhelming win at home against a very down Penn State team, but a win is a win. Ohio State went to L.A. and beat USC. I have no idea what is wrong with the USC Trojans right now. They are 14-14, and they are going nowhere fast. Ohio State 16-13, some people have them in the bracket at 16-13. I don't want to get into that until we talk to Kevin. The highlight last night, though, Tom Izzo got a half-court buzzer beater as Michigan State beat Maryland in College Park last night. 58-55 marked to solidify their standing in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Trey Holloway was pretty pure on that half-court shot, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
The game was headed for overtime, but that shot gave Michigan State the victory, and you knew that was going to be a pretty highly contested game, low-scoring game against Maryland. So the results last night leaves Iowa tied for 14th place with Northwestern, USC, and Minnesota. It's absolutely paramount Iowa beats Northwestern to get into the tournament because when you take the records of those four teams against one another, Northwestern and Minnesota are 2-1. Iowa and USC are 1-2 against the other three. Iowa has to beat Northwestern.
I think you're right, and I think the pressure is starting to mount kind of everywhere because Fran McCaffrey coming out with his thoughts about the upcoming Big Ten tournament and how three teams are not going to be in the fray in Indianapolis. Fran did not mince any words, Mark. He let everybody know exactly how he felt. There's still fire in the belly with Fran McCaffrey, no doubt about that. Probably not showing it quite as much in his manner and mannerisms on the sideline, but he let everybody know exactly how he feels, among others, about the Big Ten not inviting three teams to the fun in Indianapolis.
Well, it's probably no coincidence that two of the coaches that may not be in the Big Ten tournament, Fran McCaffrey and Penn State's coach, were vocal about that today. Penn State coach actually using an expletive and describing the process of why 18 teams are not in it. And I don't have a strong feeling either way. I don't know about you, Scott, but other conferences, you know, they're not allowing everybody in the tournament. I know the Big Ten baseball will not allow everybody in the Big Ten baseball tournament and hasn't. So I can see it both ways, but what would it hurt to include everybody? I just don't know. I'm just unsure where I land on that. Maybe Kevin Lehman can convince me one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, odds are the number 18 seed in the Big Ten tournament is not going to get to the championship, let alone win it. We know that. I don't know if it's a money consideration. If you have 18 teams, you're going to have to get the house another day. That's for sure. You're going to have to rent it another day. I mean, money is not a problem for the Big Ten or any conference in America that's a power conference. I know that. But to me, it does seem a little bit odd. You and I, Mark, go back to the days there was no Big Ten tournament. We know who came up with that idea and got the ball rolling. That was Dr. Tom Davis, coming from Boston College and the Big East. They have a tournament. They want to have a tournament. Let's have a tournament. It's been highly successful. And to not bring in three teams, granted, how many fans of those three institutions are going to come? I mean, there are pluses and minuses to this argument for all 18 teams to be there and not have all 18 teams to be there. We'll get Kevin's thoughts on it. I can see it both ways. If your team is not there, though, I think it's going to leave a pretty empty feeling.
Well, the conference tournaments are important for schools that are in the Atlantic Sun, the MEAC. They get automatic bids. Otherwise, they're not going to get in the tournament. Maybe the Missouri Valley. But in terms of the Big Ten and the Power Four conferences and others in basketball anyway, it doesn't mean a great deal. You're going to have your upsets and whatnot. I think it should be determined on the regular season, much like in football. I don't think the football championship games should be factored in to the college football playoffs. We're kind of comparing apples to oranges there. I am anyway. But I think you know where I'm headed there.
I have kicked this around, and I'd like to get some people's opinion on it. Love to hear from you, 319-366-1600. We'll get to you, 5680, coming up here in just a moment. But for the lesser conferences, maybe the Missouri Valley, and I also understand this is a time constraint situation thing as well, or you could play this at, campus sites, whatever the case may be. I've often thought, okay, play your postseason tournament. But... if someone other than the regular season champion wins that postseason tournament, then have a winner-take-all game at the end of it between the regular season champion and the postseason tournament champion to get that bid. Would that be a little bit... yeah, you would get rid of some of the Cinderellas, but there are really, no Cinderellas for, like, the fifth-place team in the MEAC or whatever, Mark, like you mentioned. You work too hard for 4 months to lose it in one weekend. That's my thought.
Yeah, it comes down to what do you value more, the regular season or a conference tournament? And to one league, it means a great deal more to do well in the conference and regular season than it does in the tournament. It just depends on the circumstances for a lot of teams and a lot of conferences. It's, 300, 400 teams in Division I basketball and different ways to get in the 68-team field. So it's kind of convoluted in that regard.
Mo Valley champion last year travels in 2 days to Terre Haute to try to beat Indiana State on their home court.
See? Well, I a television network on line one.
Yeah, and you can put it on television, the Mo Valley. Heck, Kevin can drive there, do the game. I think it's a good idea. Matt Fairfax agrees with me. That's pretty fair, Scott. Thank you, Matt. 319-366-1600. 5680, Mark says, Fran does not have a leg to stand on in this one. It's just like a game. You do not leave it into the hands of the refs to decide. He's had all season long to avoid being in the bottom three. He has not kept the team from being right on the verge of being there.
I read that. Win more.
Simple as that, right?
As the texter said, Fran probably would not even comment on this if he was in the middle of the standings. I don't know if that's true because I think he was asked today in lieu of the comments made at Penn State what he thinks, and it just so happens that I was in a perilous position right now.
Boy, not that I feel bad for Penn State, but if you're a Nittany Lion fan, thank goodness you have wrestling because your winter would be pretty bleak right now. Women's basketball team is dead last. Men's basketball team is second to last at this time. Thank goodness for wrestling up at State College, Mark.
I have no sympathy for Penn State.
I don't think a lot of people do.
One of my good friends, his birthday today, he's a big Penn State fan.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know several Penn State fans in Eastern Iowa here, big Penn State fans. Right now, your bottom three, You've got Washington looking like they are pretty much not going to make another trip across the country. They are 4-13. Penn State is 5-13. And then you've got four teams, including Iowa, with 11 losses. That would be Iowa, Northwestern, USC, and Minnesota. And as you said, Mark, tomorrow night in Evanston is, you are not in a good position if you lose that one tomorrow evening. Let's just put it that way.
No, the tiebreakers would not be good for Iowa, head-to-head or against any team you tie with. So, yeah, it's in Iowa's hands, plain and simple. There's not much more analysis to be had on that one.
Everybody knows whose birthday it is. Gene and Vinton knows whose birthday it is. 319-366-1600. It's a small world, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, it is.
It is a small world, indeed. Northwestern, by the way, they're playing good ball. They've won their last two, including a win at Ohio State. So it's not going to be easy at all. And I throw this out to you, Mark, because Kevin Lehman and I always make you think about the net rankings. Northwestern's net is 55, which is one behind Nebraska, who all the bracketologists have solidly in the field right now.
You and Kevin don't make me do anything. You just try to convince me it's important. And Kevin will do that again in the next half hour.
Yes, he will.
I know he will.
And we're going to talk to Kevin coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Wrestling last night, we'll talk more about that. Isaac was there last night. Mark Ironside was there last night. Great crowd at Extreme Arena. And Spencer Lee did not get the victory. David Carr did get the victory last night. From all indications, it was a smashing success for Flow Wrestling Night in America.
Yeah, I'll be anxious to hear Isaac's take on tomorrow's show and what the atmosphere was like. And Ono beat Lee 3-2. And Carr, just from the looks of it, beating an Olympic silver medalist 10-7, maybe the highlight of the program.
Good to see that Eastern Iowa with a big, big ovation for David Carr. Not that everybody there last night was a Hawkeye fan. There were a lot of Cyclone shirts there. But you know what? The singlet says USA now for David Carr. It doesn't say Iowa State on it anymore. So good job by Wrestling Town USA last night for turning out and for doing that.
Hope they do it again.
Hope they do it again. And I hope we'll get another one of those coming up. We need to, speaking of coming up, that is the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. That is coming up next with Mark. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And they're open at 4 o'clock. Their entire delicious menu is online, and that is at emilshideaway.com. What do we got?
Tickets sold out in just under 40 minutes today for the Indiana Fever's WNBA exhibition game May 4th at Carver Hawkeye Arena against the Brazilian national team. Consequently, sales to the general public scheduled tomorrow will not happen. As you know, Scott, Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce says he'll return for the 2025 season. Kelce shared the news in a text to radio host Pat McAfee, which McAfee repeated today. A big night for familiar faces in the NBA last night. Former Iowa star Keegan Murray scored a season-high 26 points in Sacramento's win. His twin brother and fellow Cedar Rapids Prairie graduate Chris had 12 points off the bench in Portland's victory. And former Iowa State star and Olympic gold medalist Tyrese Halliburton posted 33 points and 11 assists for Indiana. This morning, the 15th sub-60 round in PGA Tour history was recorded at the Cognizant Classic in Florida. Jake Knapp posted a 12-under par 59. Jim Furyk is the only player to post two sub-60 scores in PGA history, including a record 58. Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson opened play this morning with a 5-under par 66. And finally, Robin Becker-Pinchton has announced she will step down as women's basketball coach at Missouri after this season, her 15th with the Tigers. Pinson was a star at Cedar Rapids Jefferson and St. Ambrose University. She has had 10 postseason appearances with Missouri, including 4 NCAA trips.
We wish the best for Robin. No doubt about that. And if you are wondering about taking the family to see Caitlin in her exhibition game, if you look at the secondary ticket market right now, ticket prices are anywhere between the upper 500s and $1,000. Andrew is shaking his head. I will not be attending.
No, I don't think that's like fair to purchase a ticket to then sell them and not go. Like, you're taking a
seat
from...
Welcome to America.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's fair or valid. I think there should be somehow, like, there should be some type of repercussion for it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd enforce it, though.
It's the way of the world.
Yeah.
Way of the world.
People that bought tickets today are big donors, season ticket holders, Fever season ticket holders, none going to the general public. We can debate that on another show, but it's not for me to ask why, but why?
We'll take a break, come back. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joins us when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. There's going to be plenty of sunshine today, but also plenty of wind. Temperatures will be making their way to around 50 degrees, but the winds will be making it feel cooler with gusts around 30 miles per hour. As we head into tonight, we'll have clear skies, winds back off some, temperatures drop into the mid-30s. Winds will be picking up out of the south and west as a cold front approaches Friday morning. That will help send temperatures to near 60 degrees, but it will be very windy with gusts around 45 miles per hour tomorrow. That's your latest Weather First forecast.
Brandcamp, where businesses build their brand.
The sun peaks over the horizon. Nature begins to awaken. The rooster crows, and your alarm sounds a screeching tone that jolts you from your slumber. Your heart starts pumping, and you reach to put an end to the horrid noise by hitting the snooze button. But you have placed the alarm clock far enough away that it requires you to get out of bed. As your feet hit the ground and you sit upright, you scream out in agony. Oh, my back. Notice that you didn't wake up saying, I need a new mattress. Your focus was on the problem, not the solution. Hey, I'm Stacey Dayball. What solutions do you offer to your customers? Are you telling them how you can help in a way that actually catches their attention? You need a brainsformation from KZIA. Let us add more customers through a proven system that finally breaks through and get your business famous for what you do. Join me April 8th at 8 a.m. for Brand Camp at the African American Museum. To register, go to KZIA.com, go to the Brandsformation tab at the top of the page, and sign up there. I can't wait to see you.
Hungry? Quickstar's got you. No dinner plans? Food's here, and it's a pizza party. Dom's pizzas are 4 for just $10. Choose from a variety of toppings. So easy and delicious. Get plenty to eat and keep your wallet happy too.
Food's here and it's ready when you are. Quickstar isn't just convenient, it's here to make your life easier and better.
Fuel up at your ultimate destination for snacks and meals that hit the spot. Only at Quickstar.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. Lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of 9, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter@edge-realtygroup.com.
And it's time to talk some college hoops. Our Off the Glass segment each Thursday. It is brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City and taking care of folks up and down the corridor from Iowa City to Cedar Rapids. And we bring in Kevin Lehman, the coach, to talk with us a variety of hoop subjects here today. But as always, Kevin, we start off by Chris passing the ball to you to ask you about out of bounds playing football as a youngster on the farm on top of Sycamore Hill.
I've got the scars to verify that football game.
It's not only basketball. You guys had football in your blood, too.
Well, I know a lot of our listeners are familiar with Iowa City. I'm not sure about you guys, but our farm was just south of this, what became the Sycamore Mall. Actually, the Sycamore Mall was part of the original farm, and we were basically annexed in the city. But I told you before, we had Steer Stadium, Cow Palace. That was our two basketball courts. But my dad also had built a makeshift baseball diamond and a football field. And the football field, at times, was surrounded by an electric fence to keep the cattle in. So you knew if you were out of bounds, because if you got shocked by that fence, there wasn't any arguments. We didn't need to do reviews at the monitor. You were just knew you were out of bounds.
I think you're onto something.
I thought Mark might like that one.
National Football League, take note. Nah, we can't shock people. Nah, that would.
Well,
be...
you also, if you caught one of those barbs, you might have a little scratch on your arm too, or your leg.
Very true. But
you learn not to go out of bounds, to stay in bounds.
No,
on that football field.
No out patterns on Sycamore Hill. We'll just say
nope,
that.
That was the best part. There were very few arguments because you kind of knew if you were out of bounds when you got the shot treatment up your leg.
Speaking of arguments, Fran McCaffrey, among others, with not so flattering things to say about the Big Ten as we get to the last three games of the regular season for the Big Ten's tournament and the way it's going to be played out, that three teams are not going to be there. Now, yes, it is coaches that are in jeopardy of not making it, as you might well expect. But I'll ask you, is this the way to do it, or should everybody get to go?
I'm 100% in the belief that everyone should get to go. I'm going to give you the reasons why. Peyton Sanford deserves a shot to play in the Big Ten tournament. See if he can get a couple wins. The chance of them winning the tournament are probably very slim, but don't the seniors, such as Sanford, Evan Bronze, Thelwell, don't they need a shot to go to the tournament? If you're not invited, you feel like you're the stepchild, the redhead stepchild that doesn't get invited to the party. So it's a really bad feeling, because I told you, I think a week or two ago, when the Northern Iowa first joined the Valley, only 8 of the 10 teams went. And the two that were left out, it was like they weren't part of your conference. They weren't part of your group. So I think that's huge. And the second part, the coaches that are on those teams that don't qualify puts more and more heat on them and more ammunition for the administration athletic directors to end their contract. So those are the two reasons that I think you should invite everyone. But the biggest would be the fan experience, or not the fan experience, the student-athlete experience to play in that tournament. And guys, we know the Big Ten has plenty of money. They can certainly invite 3 more teams if they need another day to pay for the venue, whatever. They have enough money to do that.
Someone said, Kevin, beat what Northwestern tomorrow night.
Yes, that game has loomed large based on Northwestern's win at Minnesota. Big win at Ohio State, playing really well right now. So we talked about this too. It's making the fact that there's only 15 teams invited out of the 18, it's making these games tomorrow night huge games, even though they're teams in the bottom of the league, because they're fighting for the lives to get that invitation.
Is the team that loses tomorrow night, I mean, they're not mathematically out, but, I think mentally that team might check out. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Iowa's had some mixed games over in Evanston over the years. They've had some big wins. It seems like it's either a win or a blowout.
Yeah, it has been that way with Chris Collins' group over there in Northwestern. if you look at the rest of the schedule, Iowa's got, I mean, it looks even bigger because look at what Iowa's got. They've got Michigan State trying to win the Big Ten title outright in regular season and at Nebraska. So this one they've got to get, I think, to have any chance of qualifying for those top 15 teams. And, you know, Northwestern, we thought, this would be a win the Hawks can get, but not. Northwestern's playing really well here of late. I mentioned those two big wins. They just had. So they've got some momentum going right now.
Kevin, I watched you and I and Drake for two reasons. Number one, heck of an in-state battle. And number two, you were on the call.
I'm sure number one was probably the bigger reason.
I described it to Scott as a slog. I'm not sure there was a fast break point, but it's still a heck of a game.
It was a heavyweight fight.
If you guys have not seen Drake or anyone watch that before, that's the way the Bulldogs play. It is physical, and you got to master physicality. My concern with Northern Iowa is that their guards wouldn't be able to live up to that expectation of physicality with Campbell and Schweiger and Weisbrod, and that's kind of why it played out. Didn't make the threes that they needed to in that game, but hats off to Drake. They just won themselves an outright title, the first since 2008 with Adam Emenecker, and Keno Davis led them to a regular season title. But I don't know how you guys thought about the call at the end. You know, we had the foul with the three-point shooter, and which I thought was legit. He had to have a place to land. Even if the horn goes off when he's in the air, he still has to finish his shot and come down. But the double foul with 2.5 minutes left that fouled out Titan Anderson is, you know, as Ben Jenkins said, in 19 years of being a head coach, that is the worst call that I've ever seen. And I asked him last night before the game at UIC if he got fined for that particular comment. He didn't say he got fined or not, but he did talk to the administration, the supervisor officials and others about that call.
Well, go back to the one Weisbrod's call at the end of the game. That it was a foul. He did not give him a spot to come down after the shot. He made contact during the shot. So I had no problem with that. And you know what? Drake had to step up and make the free throws too. I mean, it was not, you know, it was not necessarily going to go into overtime at that point, but that was the first double foul I have seen all year and probably in a couple of seasons. And it made me long for the days of Ed Hightower.
Yeah. If you watch the replay, those two, it was the freshman, Isaiah Howard for Drake and Titan Anderson. Titan's going to be runner-up player of the year in the league. That's how much he's meant to Northern Iowa. He's got four fouls, but they had been fighting on that positioning, and according to Coach Jake, you know, Howard is initiating it. It's usually the second one that gets caught, but yeah, step in there if you're an official and give them some words, but don't call a double foul in overtime with the league championship on the line, the possibility of one. I think that was, and I talked to the officials last night. I asked them about it. I always like to get the officials' opinion to make myself a better broadcaster, for one, and how they evaluate things. And the comment was from all three officials was, I would not have made that call. They didn't say it was the wrong call, referring to double foul, but they said, I would not have made that call that time of the game. I've seen double fouls this year, Scott, but they've been earlier in the game.
I'll ask you this. I thought Ben McCollum put Howard in there just to do that.
Well, you got to know, you know, I've been around that team a lot. Isaiah Howard is wired tight. I don't think you have to tell him to do that. That's the type of player he is. He's real competitive. He's very physical. He's done those types of things before where he climbs in the space of the person he's guarding. So I don't think it was something that coach told him to do, but I think it's in his DNA to do it.
Okay.
You know, he's one of those guys that gets underneath your skin a little bit. But I agree with you on that, on the foul on the three-point shooters, like Mitch Mascheri. And, you know, he only missed five free throws all season, and he had to make three to win that game. He made two of the three. But it's like, you know, the punter that you nick his leg after the punt. It's a call that you got to make, and that's I thought that was a legit call.
Well, number two in the league up for grabs Sunday, and you and I handled Bradley pretty well at home, but kind of a tough call for you and I to go to Bradley and win or not.
Yeah, it is, Mark. I'll tell you why. That game, that was in you and I in the McLeod Center, that was not a healthy Bradley team. Duke Dean, preseason player of the year, is going to be a first team all player, all league player, had strep throat, I found out later, and they were not going to play him that game, and they did. He didn't. I think he got 2 points on a layup they ran to start the second half. Missed all his threes, and he's the guy that's, the game after he made 7 threes. So it's going to be a different Bradley team with a healthy Duke Dean. I think a few others might have had a little bit of a flu bug. So, but Dean is the emotional leader of that Bradley team. So this will be a different type of game for Northern Iowa to go into. And I don't know if you watched last night. I had him against UIC. UNI was fantastic. Jacob Hudson was making threes. They really played well in that game. And if you look at what Northern Iowa's done, in their last 11 contests, they've won 9. The only team they've lost to is Drake twice in that run. So they are playing as well as anybody in the league right now.
Yeah. Kevin, I'll tell you this. We talked on Monday with Mike DeCourcy, talked bracketology. I gave him the scenario that if Drake gets to the Missouri Valley Conference Arch Madness Championship and loses and has 30 wins, he will be campaigning as loud as anyone for Drake to get an at-large berth. So does that make you feel a little bit better that it's a possibility that the Mo Valley could get to?
It'd make me feel better if Mike DeCourcy was on the selection committee for the NCAA. I'd feel a lot better. But if you look today, they moved. I know Mark loves this part when we start talking about quads and nets. They are 5-0 in quad one and quad two games, the Drake Bulldogs. So every opportunity they've had, they've been successful, although they do have 3 losses in the quad three bracket. But I think it's a little bit like Indiana State last year. Hopefully that Indiana State not getting invited to the NCAA tournament and making a run all the way to the championship of the NIT. So, Seton Hall won the NIT last year, and Seton Hall was the 69th team. They were the first ones out. They won the NIT. So it gives you some credence to that, how good the NIT is. But here's a bigger question for you guys. Sure, Northwestern, who you mentioned has a 55 net, say they don't qualify for the Big Ten tournament, should they accept an invitation to the NIT?
I never even thought about that.
Well, I heard you say 55 net, and that one kind of popped in my mind because I did. They may get an invitation because that's what they kind of do in that NIT. They try to pick up the best teams from those power leagues.
Well, there's a team 500 in the SEC that's in, apparently, right now. But Mike did also say that Drake is in a better spot than Indiana State was last year with the wins, win.
Vanderbilt wins really help them. K-State's got to keep winning. That will help them some, too. Miami's kind of a lost cause. And, the Bradley UNI is going to be a push here, the 2 wins over UNI. And Bradley split with Drake, so that won't move their needle one way or the other. But keep cheering for the Kansas State. Do we have to cheer for Kansas State when they play Iowa State here in about a week in Manhattan? We may have to if you're a Valley fan.
Kevin, how much has your confidence gone down in Iowa State, or has it?
I'm concerned because this is not a good time to get a lull. They turn the ball over a bunch. And when you hear Keyshawn Gilbert's got a strained calf, that's something you don't come back from very quickly. Here's a question I throw out there. Are they better off when they get the Big 12 tournament? I know it's a little bit off here, another 2 weeks, to have an early exit and get healthy before they go in the NCAA tournament. We've seen teams do that before to their advantage rather than playing 3 games in the Big 12 tournament. That's something to think about. I know T.J. Alsenberger would not settle for that, but in hindsight, that might be something good for the Cyclone team to get healthy before the tournament starts.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, outside of just a couple of games, Iowa State has not been healthy since basically, early January? They haven't been all together.
Yeah, and you wonder, to Mark's point, can they get it going? Can they get back in their groove and get feeling good about themselves here in another 2 weeks before that Selection Sunday comes? Because they're running out of time, and they're banged up. You still got Tamen Lipsey playing with a broken thumb. I don't think that's going to heal up before the season ends. So that's a great question. And I'm concerned. Let me put it that way. I'm really concerned. And they're starting to fall down the seed line. They're number 2 seed. They're drifting down. So probably a number three seed the next time Lenardi comes out. And that, you know, that means a lot too, what your matchups are going to be in the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, to answer your question, I'd say very concerned about this Iowa State team right now. They just turned the ball over too much of recent times.
Houston, Iowa State, that was also, I mean, Iowa State played very, very well shorthanded. Houston, great defensively, but man alive, how often can you rely on L.J. Cryer's step-back three-pointers to carry you? They just keep winning, though. I mean, it's just defense travels, as you say.
Yeah, they really have set a standard in a really physical Big 12. And I think we talked about this early in the season, about, you know, the Big Ten was always known as the most physical league in the country years ago, a decade ago. Now it's the Big 12. The SEC is about long, athletic dudes. The Big 12 has become a physical league. And it's led by what Houston's doing. It's led by the way Iowa State plays. So you almost, a lot of teams are adapting that type of style to be competitive. But, you know, if you look what Kelvin Sampson has done since they've joined the Big 12, it's been amazing. That has been a seamless transition from the American in the Big 12 for Houston Cougars and Kelvin Sampson.
Kevin, last from me, can Indiana hire a coach that would satisfy Hoosier fans?
No, not possible. Are they still blue blood? I think it's a question we have to ask. It's been so long, and they still consider themselves as a fan base as blue bloods, but I don't think the Hoosiers are. When's the last time they're in the Final Four? I mean, it's been 20 years, I believe. A Big Ten championship. It's been a long time, so there needs to be a dose of reality there with those Hoosier fans. And as we know, guys, the world has changed with NIL, transfer portal. Those that were rich are no longer – the others are rich also, let me put it that way. So when you had an advantage before, such as Kansas is a great example, that advantage no longer exists.
Real quick, Rod asking on the text line, is it all the health or are teams now scouting and scheming better against Iowa State?
Well, I would say when Milan – Mitrovic was out, they schemed very well, teams did, to plug up the middle. But now that he's back and healthy, I think it's just a matter of they've got to get, it's a team that doesn't have a deep bench anyway. They need Curtis Jones coming off the bench, sixth man in the Big 12. And there's something to be said about this. You got to know what your role is and be comfortable with your roles. And, he's comfortable coming off the bench and doing those things. So they got to get Keyshawn Gilbert back in the lineup and healthy. I think they can get this team clicking again, because – when you lose a player like they lost Milan, or you lose the other guys, Jones missed a game, Keyshawn's missing his games. Everybody has to kind of move over a slot and do some different things they're not used to doing. It may not be their strengths. So I think to answer that question, they got to get back to where everybody's in their strong point on the court, so that they're playing well again. And I think they can get there, but it's my biggest concern is that strained muscle that Keyshawn Gilbert has.
Yeah. We will be talking to you from Arch Madness next week. Is that correct?
Yes, and we probably need to go a day early, just to let you know, because I start Thursday, and we start at noon, and it's game after game after game after game. Four games in a row we've got on Thursday.
Well, have you wrestle Ironside and see if he'll change days next week, so... We'll see.
I'm looking forward to that.
I know who's going to win. No matter if it's football and electric fence or whatever, I think Ironside's going to win.
Yeah, if you remember Greece, I'm going to take Mark as my backup, as my second.
All right. Kevin, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, and stay away from those electric fences.
We will. All right. Kevin Lehman, the coach, in our Off the Glass segment, which is brought to you each and every Thursday by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group. We'll take a break and come back and have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you after this.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Network Computer Solutions, Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
I'm Grant, and I'm your new bachelor.
ABC Mondays.
Is this real? Is he real?
The Bachelor is back, and the ladies are head over heels.
Tall, handsome, smart. He's perfect.
It's an all-new season of romance.
I'm 110% ready to fall in love.
My love story is going to happen.
And of course... drama.
These other girls are dating my boyfriend.
You act like you don't care.
He knows how I feel.
I did not know how hard this was going to be.
The Bachelor, Mondays 8, 7 Central on ABC and stream on Hulu.
Build your business with a partner you can trust. The Home Depot. When you join Pro Xtra, you get lower than shelf pricing and dedicated support to help you streamline your business and stay on budget. Get dedicated pro support for supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. At The Home Depot, we supply the support your job needs with the level of service your business deserves. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
It was a Bowling Night in America. And with this wrap-up, is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America, which has suddenly had a theme that we really don't like, Mark, on the Rusty Nails.
Second half slide continues for the Nails, losing 18.5 to 11.5 last night. And just reports out on Twitter that the captain is on the hot seat.
I could be. I wasn't there last night, though.
You weren't there the previous week. You were there the previous week.
I was. I helped.
I kid.
Who did well last night?
Ryan Bundy couldn't do much better. He had a 300, his second of the season in the Adult Evergreen League. Chase Donner, close behind with a 298. Quincy Bruce, high series, 741.
They will try it again next week. I will not be with them again. But three Bruners did not help last night. We'll try it again coming up next week. Pro Shop is available, and if you'd like to inquire, how do you do so?
Number is 362-0136. Website, MayCityBullCR.com.
All right, stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. From 4 until 6, Jeff Linder of the Gazette will preview the girls' state tournament and talk some women's college basketball with us on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Have a good night, Mark.
Will do. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Gym Class on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Hello, it's Robin Roberts here.
Hey, guys, it's George Stephanopoulos here.
Hey, everybody, it's Michael Strahan here. Wake up with Good Morning America.